We continue our learning lately in Ishmael David ben Menachem Rosh and Chaim Yaakov Pinchas Eliyahu. We're on Sukkah Paragimol Mishnah Yud Aleph. Makom shenahagu lichpol yichpol lifshot yifshot. In places and communities where the minig is to double the psukim, some of the psukim in Hallel, you should do so. But if the minig is lifshot, you just say them once, you say them once. What psukim are we talking about? So we're familiar, we do double some of the psukim, Hodel Hashem Kitov, Odecha Kiani Sani, and the reason we do that, at least there's a custom to do that, and we follow that custom, is because many of the psukim in that perek of Kuf Yud Ches, of which we say in Hallel, of Tehillim, are doubled anyway. You think about the section of Yom Arnah and Yomuna, or Min HaMeitzar, Karasika, Anani V'Amerechavka, Tov Lach Asos this, Tov Lach Asos that. We Kol Goyim Svavuni, and Sabuni Gam Svavuni. Yimin Hashem this, Yimin Hashem that. So because of that, since the Psukim at the end, Odechaki Ani Sani V'Atehi L'Lishua, you don't have, you're not doubling anything there. So therefore, there's a minhag to double those psukim completely. And once you say the pasuk once, and then you say it again to follow the theme and the pattern of the other psukim in that same parak. But others do not have that minhag. You follow, as the Mishnah will say, it's all based on the minhag. And then the Mishnah continues, levarech acharav. If you have a minhag to say the bracha after Hallel, yivarech acharav. So you make the bracha. And if you don't, you don't. Hakol kiminag hamedina. Now the bracha after Hallel, of course, begins with the Hallelujah and ends with Barachat Hashem Melech Mulah Batishbachos. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Tes says, this discussion about whether it's a minhag or not, that's all the last bracha of Hallel. The bracha that precedes the Hallel, that's a bracha on a mitzvah. That bechas a mitzvah, everyone agrees, is an obligation. And of course, we're supposed to say that Hallel. We know this Friday practice based on the Rambam is that we only recite that bracha when we're saying a full Hallel. The nusach of the bracha indeed is Ligmoras HaHallel. The nusach Ashkenaz, which is Likoras HaHallel, we even recite a bracha when Hallel is not said in full, even when Hallel is only a minog. We say a bracha in Ashkenazi practice is to say brachos on minhagim as well. Says the certain types of minhagim. Then the Mishnah continues with discussing the issue of a Shemitah Esrog. So a little bit of background we learned Masech HaShvius already, but just to remind ourselves of a few things. Number one, during the Shemitah year, all the fruit has to be Hefker. We need to give access. If you have a farm, you need to give access to people, a field. People should be able to come in and take the produce. Anyone who guards the produce, where the produce is now Meshumar, so people are not allowed to buy that produce. According to some, you can't even eat that produce. Now, Shemitah produce we're able to keep around in the house and use that until what we call the Shas HaBiur. Once the Shas HaBiur arrives, which is the time when that crop, that fruit, is no longer available for the animals in the field, So then you have to get rid of it from the house. We have to perform biur, mafkirit, different opinions what to do with that. So that's one other thing. Another issue is you're not allowed to do any business, any commerce with a lot of Shemitah produce. You can buy a little bit if you need for a certain amount of meals. That's okay, but we don't do business with Shemitah produce. Money that you use to buy Shemitah products, so that also has the same restriction of the Shas HaBiur. You have to remove that money from the house. That money has to be spent by the time the Shas HaBiur, the time that whatever product you purchase, whatever produce you purchase with that money, if that produce is no longer available in the field, you have to make sure that money that you used, that was used to purchase that, must be used up. Must be spent. And there's also, and this is maybe the most important, is that we have a distinction between fruits and vegetables as to when we decide when the Shemitah year begins. When it comes to fruit, so we usually assume that they've reached the budding stage, what we call chanata. So if they reach that stage, let's say before Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, so that fruit, since the chanata happened before the Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, that is a sixth-year fruit. Makes no difference that you are harvesting that fruit during the Shemitah year, because the Chanata took place earlier, as opposed to vegetables. That is based on when you picked them. So if they're picked during the Shemitah year, even though they may have been grown in the sixth year, they're considered like Shemitah products. So Esrog is this question, whether we give it the status of a fruit or a vegetable regarding this. Now, an esrog is obviously a fruit, but nonetheless, there's some debate about an esrog, whether we follow Shas Chanata, and we define the year based on when it buds, or no, the time when you harvested it. Now, when you're taking, obviously, if it's Sukkot time, and you have an esrog, you're plucking it off in the Shemitah year, so obviously the body, the Chanata, took place during the sixth year. So if we followed Chanata, we would be fine on Sukkot with our esrog, because they would never have the status of a Shemitah fruit, because we're plucking them, but the budding took place in the sixth year. The problem is this machlokas, that according to some, that we have to follow, like vegetables, we have to follow the time of Ktsira. And because of that, we have problems with Esrogim. As opposed to, let's say, a lulav, which number one says the Bar Tanura, Lifi Shel Lulav, Eitz Ba'alma, who it's just a piece of wood, Ve'emo Kiddush HaShvi'is. Others say, no, that's not the issue. The issue is, when it comes to the lulav is, it has the status of a tree. There are dates that grow on there. And therefore, the lulav will be based on chanata, the budding, and of course, the lulav that I'm using on Sukkot, that I pluck off the tree, that I cut off the tree on Sukkot, obviously had its chanata in the sixth year. So the lulav is not a problem anyway. It's only the esrog that we have problems with. Of course, the hadassah and aravos are not, they're not fruits. That's not an issue at all. So says the Mishnah here, continuing in Mishnah Yud Aleph, halokeach lulav mechaveru bashvi'is. The person who's purchasing a lulav from his friend we assume is an amaret, who's not being careful, and it's during the Shemitah year, no sein lo esrog bimatana, the piece should give, the person who he's buying from should give this to him, the esrog, as a gift, because you're not permitted to buy it in the Shemitah year. Now, if the buying from the seller is an amaret, so you don't want to give him money for a Shemitah product, he may not follow the halacha and use the money before Shas Habir. So that's one of the issues. And we know that you'll say, well, what do you mean? I'm buying one esrog. How much is one esrog? I'm allowed to buy during Shemitah. It's not doing business with Shemitah. I'm just buying one esrog, like for one meal. But we know that the price of esrog is probably more than the equivalent of three meals. So maybe you could buy three meals for the day, but that would be regular food. An esrog is a lot more than that. Think about the price of esrog. And therefore, because of that, we're not allowed to give the Amaretz that money. He's going to hold the money past the time of beer. Obviously, I can buy from an Amaretz. If I'm buying three meals, that's okay. He's going to use that money very quickly. But the money you spend on an esrog, he may hold it around for a while past the Shas HaBir. Now, let's say the Amaretz doesn't want to give the esrog as a gift. So you buy a lulav, the lulav is $10. The esrog should have been $70. But you say, listen, I'm sorry, I can't pay you for the esrog. So what do you buy a lulav for $10 and that's at Adas Amaros for another couple of bucks, the whole thing $15? He's not going to want to sell it to you. So what do we do then? So it says here in the Mishnah that he has to give you the esrog b'matana because you can't buy it. So the Gemara says on Daf Lamites that if the Amaretz is not willing to give you the esrog as a gift, so he can then you can pay him for the lulav. He can raise the price of the lulav at the cost of the esrog and tell you, listen, I'm giving you the esrog as a gift, but the lulav this year is very expensive. And then that's okay. That's that what we call havla. The esrog is paid. It's all included. It's a little swallowed up. The esrog is there and included in the price of the lulav, and that's acceptable. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis. Barishona haya lulav nita ba mikdash shiva uva medina yomechad. Originally, the lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash for all 7 days, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, and then in the Medina outside the Beis HaMikdash for only 1 day. The Pasuk says, O lakachtem lachem v'yom arishon priyetz adar, etc. It's only mitzvah d'oraisa the first day, and there's no mitzvah at all to take it the next 6 days. But in the Beis HaMikdash, because it says in the end of that Pasuk, usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokechem shivas yamin, you shall rejoice with the dalad minim in front of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. So in the Beis HaMikdash, you took dalad minim for 7 days. But what happened? Mishachara Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a takana. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai, Sheilulav Nital Bamedina Shiva. He instituted that the lulav should be taken outside all 7 days. Yes, the first day is Doraisa, but now a takana derabbanan to take it the next 6 days as well. Zecher la mikdash, to remember what was done in the Beis HaMikdash when indeed there was a mitzvah all 7 days. Now, first we have to define what does mikdash mean versus medina. We usually assume the mikdash means the Beis HaMikdash itself, the azara of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where there was a mitzvah. And then outside the Azara, even Yerushalayim proper, the old city, there was no mitzvahs for 7 days. The Rambam is famous for his opinion when it comes to the din of shofar and lulav here, that when we say mikdash in the Mishnah, we're referring to the entire old city of Yerushalayim. That being the case, there's still many are familiar with the Bikur Yaakov's tshuva, where he says, even after Churban HaBayis, since according to the Rambam, Yerushalayim remains Kadosh. So if that's true, the old city remains Kadosh according to the Rambam. Because Shechina ain't a betela, Shechina's still there, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. And although there's no Mikdash proper, we have the old city of Yerushalayim. And when we say Mikdash, we mean the old city. That would mean that nowadays, one can fulfill this mitzvah of taking the Dalam Minim in the Mikdash, in the old city of Yerushalayim, for all 7 days of Sukkot. Indeed, there are people who do that. They go out of their way, at least to come on a day of Chol HaMoed, let's say, to the Kotel with their Dalam Minim to fulfill this mitzvah based on the Shitas HaRama. Of course, out when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so now, although there was never a mitzvah for the other 6 days outside the Mikdash or outside the old city according to the Rambam, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to do something to remember the Mikdash. Why is that important? So the Gemara darshins from the Pasuk, Daf Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Lamed, Tzion hi doresh ein la. It's Tzion, the city of Yerushalayim, and no one is being doresh. No one's investigating. No one's inquiring about her. So what do you see from there? Yirmiyahu is all upset. He's lamenting the fact that no one's interested in Yerushalayim. No one's thinking about it. No one's seeking it out. So therefore, there must be Michlal Dika, right? That is a chiyuv of Derisha. There's obviously a mitzvah to look out for the Beis HaMikdash. And it's based on that pasuk that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made this takana. All 7 days, zech lemikdash, so the 6 days after the first are only midirabbanan based on this. And then he concludes, v'sheyehei yom haneif kulo asur. Another takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that the Yom HaNeif literally means the day of waving, but it means the day of the bringing of the Korban Omer, that barley flour offering that was brought on the 16th of Nisan, second day of Pesach, in order to permit the new grain, to permit the Chadash. That halacha, that day, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and there's no Korban Omer, the entire 16th of Nisan, you're not allowed to eat from the Chadash, from the new grain. You have to wait till the next day, till the 17th of Nisan. What was that based on? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that according to one opinion, and this is what Rabbi Yehuda points out, is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't make any takana at all. Why? Because the pasuk says, when it comes to the mitzvah of Omer, v'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo sochlu, you can't eat from the new grain, ad etzem hayom hazeh. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you know what that pasuk says? Ad etzem hayom hazeh, till the essence of that day. It means ad itzumo shel yom, till the end of the 16th of Nisan. V'ad bechlal. So I don't need Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana to tell me that we should wait till after the day is over. That's what it says in the Chumash. Yes, I bring a Korban Omer, but based on the simple reading of the Pasuk, Midoraisa, so you're not letting from the new grain the entire 16th of Nisan. So what takana was he making? So the Gemara says, according to this understanding, it was Darash V'Hiskin. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was doing was darshaning, expounding this Pasuk, and saying, I'm making a takana based on that pasuk. But the Gemara says, no, there's another possibility that indeed Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understood the pasuk ad etzem hayom hazeh to mean the beginning of the day. That the beginning of the 16th of Nisan is when you can bring, is when you can eat from the new grain. I thought you have to wait till you bring the Korban Omer. The answer is, when you have a Korban Omer, you wait till it's brought, several hours into the day. When that's brought, then you can eat from the new grain. But in the absence of a Korban Omer, there's no Beis HaMikdash, we should be able to push up the time till Netzach Amah, the beginning of the day sunrise of the 16th of Nisan. So what did Rabbi Yochanan do? What takana is he coming to tell me? Really, Minat Torah should be able, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, to eat from the new grain from the beginning of the day. I'm astering the entire day. What was that based on? So the concern was the following. Mehera Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash Amir Tzashem will be built very quickly. And what are people going to say? They're going to say, well, last year, I remember what happened. We had there was no Korban Omer. And the rabbi said, we can start eating from the grain at the beginning of the day at sunrise. Let's do the same now. Not realizing that now that there's a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till the Korban Omer is brought. You can't eat from earlier in the day. Eating Chadash before that time, that's a very severe Avera. So in order that people don't make that mistake, he said we're going to prohibit eating from the new grain the entire 16th of Nisan and only wait till the 17th, so we don't have this problem that when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, people will start eating it too early. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, rather, they'll be eating it too early. This way, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so this way people will wait till the Korban Omer is brought, because they will have been in the practice not to eat from the new grain the entire 16th of Nisan, and now the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, they'll eat it after the Korban Omer is brought.